Welcome to the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Right this way. Your therapist will see you shortly. In the meantime, sit back, kick your feet up on the couch, and get ready to focus on adding very valuable tools to your marriage toolkit. And now your host and marriage counselor, David Taylor.
Hey. How y'all doing? Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast. By this time, you guys should know who I am. My name is David Taylor, and I am your host. And I would like to welcome you to episode number 16 of the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast. And as you know, because you listened to last week's episode, this is part two to a very informative topic, a very important topic, a very significant topic that if you are not paying attention to, you just might miss some very important details. I am talking about the six stages of marriage. And last week I did the first three stages. This week I'm going to focus on the last three stages. But before I do, let me just give you guys a brief intro if you are new to this place. This podcast is the place where you're going to get credible and tangible marriage-related information from a licensed mental health counselor. And over the past 19 years of my clinical experience, I've been doing research, I've been studying, I've been reading, I've been writing, I've been experimenting, I've been working with couples literally 6, sometimes 7 days a week. And I believe that I have discovered some things that if you apply it to your marriage, it will definitely take your marriage to the next level. So I want you to see these episodes as a masterclass in marriage, where I take a psychological and practical approach to marriage education and enrichment. And that's my thing. I want to focus on marriage education and marriage enrichment, because if you guys remember, I talked about the number one reason that marriages fail is because of ignorance. And so I want to improve that by providing education and enrichment. In this episode, episode 16 of the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast, is going to be a part two follow-up to last week's episode where I discussed the first three stages of marriage. So if you're listening to this podcast for the very first time, at least go back to episode 15, check that one out, because you'll want to make sure that you get that information before you get this information. For everybody else, just understand that knowing the six stages of a relationship is crucial to understanding how to leverage where you are. And remember, in last week's episode, I likened it to Dr. Chapman's concept of the four seasons of marriage, and how I find that a lot of couples will struggle depending on the season that they're in, because they may be in winter expecting spring privileges, or they may be in fall expecting the benefits of summer. And just like that, you can make a mistake in that space. You can also make a mistake if you are on stage two of marriage, expecting the benefits and proceeds of being on stage 5 or 6. And so I want you to take this information serious, apply it to where you are, assess where you are, and then we can talk about what to do with where you are when you come and visit us in our marital workshops that we'll be doing soon. Now, before I get started, because I want to dive right in and get right to business, I did promise you guys that I was going to read a recent review that I got from someone that I don't know their name, that they didn't leave a name, but I just wanted to read a review that I got on iTunes. I thought that it was really, really special. It touched my heart. It really did when I read it for the very first time, just because of what this person was saying. So let me read this review. And by the way, I encourage you guys to leave me your reviews. Go to iTunes, go to CastBox, go to Spotify, go to Amazon Music or wherever it is, YouTube, wherever it is that you listen to these episodes, go there and leave me your reviews, okay? And your ratings, because those things will help my podcast grow. Let me read to you what this person wrote. Aloha, David and Mandy. I am Dee, and I've been listening to your podcast since I was 18 years old. I am now 25 and married almost 2 months now. God is good. I've listened to a lot of marriage podcasts, sermons, YouTube videos. I've read the books. I've talked to older couples. From 18 to 25, I have only found a few credible sources that I could cling to. Besides the Bible and Jesus, Focus on the Family, Adrian Rogers, John Hagee, Miles Monroe, and your podcast, other sources just to name a few, I wanted to give credit where credit is due. Thanks for your knowledge and your wisdom. As Robert Greene wrote in the 48 Laws of Power, like Janus, the double-faced Roman deity and guardian of all the gates and doorways, you must be able to look in both directions at once, the better to handle danger from wherever it comes. Such is the face you must create for yourself. One face looking continuously to the future and the other to the past. He then goes on to say, you look at the past to learn from those who came before you. In mentioning this, I wanted to thank the both of you for sharing your knowledge, experience, so that I can hopefully avoid painful mistakes. Thank you for discussing your marriage and the mistakes you made in order to break the back of divorce. For folks who are newly married, being married, or find themselves in a marriage crisis, God bless. Now, I know that's just one review, but to be listed in a group of greats, of heavy hitters, where, you know, those individuals, I don't deserve to be in that list because I have not toiled and labored to that degree. I am aiming to be in that position, but to hear them mention our resource as something that they have used for this for the last 7 years of their life, man, it's humbling. And it's those types of reviews that keep me doing what I'm doing. The days, the weeks where I'm like, I want to just take some time off. And believe me, I do. But the moments where I'm like, you know what, is any of this working? Is any of this thing, this research, the education, the toil and the labor and the, you know, putting time in, is any of this working? And then I read something like that. It changes my perspective. And so just having a little bit of a sentimental moment, but you know, you never know when someone like myself will need those types of words of validation and affirmation. And so whoever you are, thank you. Hopefully one day we can come out and visit over there in Hawaii and, you know, see how you guys are living life there. Listen, I encourage you guys to keep on reading, keep on studying, keep on focusing on how to improve your growing new marriage. And so Mandy and I, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And yeah, let's keep it moving, guys. So anyway, keep coming with your reviews and your ratings, and I will try to read at least one or so every episode. So speaking of episodes, we're going to enter into part two of this discussion. And just for a brief overview, again, I'm talking about the six stages of marriage. The last episode, episode 15, I discussed with you stages one, stages two, and stages three. Real quickly, stage one, I talked about how that's called the love addict stage. I'm not going to go into any detail about that stage right now. Go back and listen to that episode if you want to learn more about that. Stage two is called the mirror stage. And this is a very crucial stage of most relationships. If you want to learn more about that, go and listen to it in episode 15 and you'll learn more about what that stage looks like. Also, stage three is called the reluctant stage. And this is I found myself here ready to jump off the boat, and I learned a lot about myself at this stage. So stage three, the reluctant stage, again, check out that more in episode number 15, and you can get all the information you want. So today I'm going to pick back up at stage four. Stage four is called the fight, flight, or freeze stage. The three Fs, fight, flight, or freeze. Now, I'll start by saying this. All relationships inevitably go through this stage as a way of attempting to cope with the tension that is produced in stage three. This stage is all about the very difficult, sometimes arduous decision of staying in the relationship versus leaving the relationship. Or, as with marriages, staying married versus getting a divorce. Now, most people at this stage believe that the differences between them and their spouses are so intolerable and fundamental that there is really no way at moving forward with things the way that they are. They are burnt out and extremely disappointed. especially if they brought with them their expectations. And you guys know I did a whole episode about that. But if you bring your expectations with you and you're expecting that your spouse and your marriage is going to meet those unspoken, uncommunicated expectations, well, you're going to most likely find yourself struggling at this stage. And most people feel tricked and even manipulated that the person that they are with wasn't the person that they originally signed up for. And if you remember and recall any of my earlier episodes with Mandy, when Mandy and I would do them together, I used to use this story of the peanut butter and jelly. I won't go into it now, but I use this story to kind of emulate this point that I felt duped. I felt tricked. I didn't necessarily feel manipulated, but I have worked with individuals who will say that they felt manipulated and even that their spouse lied to them. And in some cases, some of them did. Now, the truth of the matter is this. Once you have reached this stage, you are not at the end of your rope. You have merely come to a crossroads where you have to make tons of conscious decisions. Now you actually got to do the work. Most people, though, are so much more interested in fleeing from the pain that they make hasty and bold decisions about their marriage. Here are four options that you are faced with while on stage four. The first option is to separate, and I've seen couples do that, and then they stay separated. I often will say, if you're going to separate, make sure you have a separation plan in place. Do not just separate for the sake of separating. It's foolish, and most likely it's going to make it even harder to come back. The second option is to stay and do nothing. This is also foolish, but I'm not going to judge you. Okay, maybe I just judged you by saying that, but I'm not judging you. Just understand that's foolish, okay? Number three, the third step or the third option is to lead parallel lives. Also have done, I've seen this, y'all, this is, just don't do this, okay? And then number four, the fourth option is to rebuild and create a new, more rewarding partnership. Now, of course, this is the most positive one, and this is the one that you should be leaning towards. However, I understand it's easier said than done. So if you find yourself faced with one of these four options and you just don't know what to do or you're wrestling, come see me. Email me. Text me. Listen, I have had my listeners call. I've had them email. I've had them reach out on Facebook and social media. And what they'll say is, hey, I was listening to your episode and you said if we're in one of these situations to give me a call, I'll give you a call. And so here I am. And so I'm like, listen, I appreciate it. I love listening and speaking with those that are consuming this type of information. Anyway, let me keep going. So regardless of what decision you make, if you make it too quickly, you will be left with unfinished business. For instance, if you leave the relationship in an attempt to escape the pain without fully exploring and coming to terms with your own role in the conflict, like what are you contributing to this mess? If you try to leave too fast, you will probably choose the same type of person and recreate the same kind of problems all over again. And listen, this is not my opinion. The data speaks for itself. Numbers don't lie. Second-time marriages and third-time marriages have a higher rate of failure, okay? So just understand that if you ain't finishing resolving the issues and focusing on solving the problem, you're going to take you with you wherever you go, and you will be the common denominator. So your problems will just go with you to your next relationship. Now, on the flip side, if you choose to stay in an attempt to avoid feeling rejected or in fear that you will lose that thing that you have been using to fill your voids, and listen to some of my previous episodes to understand what that means. But if that's you, your relationship may be an empty and miserable shell of what it can potentially be. Now, I recommend answering these difficult and often overlooked questions first before making any moves in this stage. And again, I'm talking about stage four, which is the fight, flight, or freeze stage. Okay? Now, here, check this out. I want to give you a few things that you should take in consideration. Answer these questions first before you move on and make a decision. Number one, and this is probably the most important question to answer, what has God said about your marriage? You do know that God has a has a will for your life, and he has a desire for your life, and it's important to include him in the decision-making process. I get it. A lot of us won't, because guess what? A lot of y'all, and I'm not judging nobody, but I'm just speaking from facts here, because I've worked with my fair share to say this statement. A lot of people have actually gotten married without consulting God. And then they want to consult God when things go wrong. But you didn't consult God to get into this marriage in the first place. But you didn't hear that from me. Let me keep going. The next question. Why did you get married in the first place? I got a whole podcast episode about that. So check that out. Right? If you want to hear more about that, check that episode out so that you can properly answer that question. Question number three. What have you contributed to the chaos in your marriage? Again, another important question. Please be honest. Number four, are there any health concerns that has to be considered? Because sometimes what I've found is that there may be some mental health issues going on and nobody knows about it, or some physical or medical conditions that are going on that nobody knows about, and those are contributing to the discomfort and the frustration in the current season of chaos. The next question, what do they want? What does your spouse want? It's important to consider them in making these really heavy decisions. And lastly, are they reluctant about the marriage? Because if they are reluctant about the marriage, guess what? I have a book all about that. My book called I Said I Do, But Now I Don't may help you with answering this question. You can actually check that book out at unmotivatedtolove.com. Go to unmotivated2love.com to check it out, or just type in I Said I Do, But Now I Don't, or David Taylor on Amazon, in Amazon, and you'll find that book there. Now, getting through this stage can be long, can be dreary, and discoursing. It can actually be disheartening to try to work through this very difficult stage, because there's a lot of nuance to it, especially if you have to do it all by yourself. Most likely, you're going to make some mistakes. So again, soft pitch here, but we don't just... hear me out, because I'm not trying to put this out for everybody to go and try to find, but we offer a program that's designed specifically to help people who are standing for their marriage and they don't know what to do, or they would like to stand with more strategy. Our program is called the Strategic Stander. And if you're interested or you feel like you need help, I've already had, you know, quite a few people that will reach out with questions and they will want a consultation to see if the program is a good fit for them. So feel free to email me at david@marpeservices.com. If you have questions about whether or not, hey, I'm standing for my marriage or fighting for my marriage, we're on stage four. I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. What do we do? Reach out to me and we can help you out with our Strategic Standard program. And this program is not for everyone. Right? It's not going to be a good fit for everybody, but for people that feel like they have a strong calling to fight for their marriage and they want to do it with more precision and accuracy, check out the program. Heck, check out Mandy's very first book, her best-selling book, Motivated, the Number Two, Love. Check that out. That's tons of resources there, or Motivated to Stand. And listen, this is not a podcast where I'm trying to pitch to you all of our stuff. It's just that we do have resources to help. And so it'd be foolish for me to tell you, here's what you do without giving you how to do it. So anyway, take with it what you want. And for those individuals who have decided to rebuild their relationship, stage five is the next natural destination. And there's a reason why I recommend these resources first, because they will help give you more clarity and then help you decide, okay, you know what? This is just a phase. Perhaps it's time to focus on rebuilding our marriage. And so stage five then would be the next step in this process. And it is this stage that becomes the point of emphasis for establishing the foundation that will support your marriage indefinitely. So stage five is a very important stage, but it also is a stage that not a lot of people get to. And once I talk about it, you'll know why. So let's talk about it. Stage five of marriage is called the conscious couple stage. And this stage comes about from those couples, those individuals who have decided to rebuild and create a new, more meaningful partnership. Now, this is also the stage that individuals get to once they decide, even together. Let's say you're not standing for your marriage, your spouse is not really reluctant. You guys just had a very difficult stage four, but you guys have decided through either marital counseling or just amongst yourselves that, you know what, we gotta continue to rebuild. We gotta make sure that we're doing something that will create a long-lasting, healthy marriage. Well, this is gonna be the stage that you most likely have found yourself at. So going through this stage is the only way to actually make it through to stage six. Now, this stage is called the conscious couple stage for a very specific reason. Conscious in this context means that you are fully aware and fully capable of monitoring both the good and the bad of your marriage. That means that your marriage is fully self-aware. Now, keep in mind that self-awareness doesn't mean perfect or flawless or knowing everything. It just simply means that both you and your spouse are aware of your blind spots, your hangups, your negative cycles, and your positive cycles. You're just more aware, okay? A conscious couple is one that actively and intentionally seeks out opportunities for growth and further development. Now, here is the progression of most relationships. I'm just going to give it to you. First, you meet each other, completely oblivious of the other person's flaws, and more times than not, oblivious to your own flaws. Then, while comfortably nestled in this cloud nine experience, which is stage one, you don't see the need to practice any self-awareness. Of course, why would I? Everything is going well. I'm putting on my best face. I got my mask on. You got your mask on. So we don't have to worry about self-awareness. After all, things are perfect and blissful. They can do no wrong. They have all the right answers, they meaning your spouse. And the thought of them, just the mere thought of them, makes your heart beat out of your chest. I remember that feeling, right? That butterfly in the chest feeling. And because you are blind to your blind spots and to the blind spots of your partner, you effortlessly go deeper into the relationship. Now, don't get too hyped, because there is a big, glaring problem with this transition. See, the problem is that you are building the house of your relationship on shifting sand. The whole foundation of your marriage is built on how you feel, and even deeper, on how your partner makes you feel. Yep, that's what's going on right now. The funny thing about life, though, is that it often takes a mirror to let us know that we have spinach in our teeth. Okay, that was a little bit much, but what I'm really trying to say is that it is often only when we stop long enough to see our reflection in the mirror that we can be honest about what we see. A lot of times we're just not looking. We're not even paying attention. We're so busy enamored with them that we ain't looking at ourselves. See, often we move so unconsciously fast in our relationships that we miss things. Things that months or even years later, we are forced to have to cope with. Now, that's why stage two, the mirror stage, is so important and necessary. Without it, we would be so feelings driven, so emotionally driven, that our relationships would have no substance, none. So stage two makes you stop long enough to truly make a conscious and objective view of your marriage. At least it should. And we know that that's not always the case. Some people by this time are so wounded by the faulty foundation of their marriage that they aren't even trying to become conscious. They only want to survive. They only want out of the pain. Now, for those who endure this chaotic season, they will eventually arrive at stage five. Now, this takes years, okay? Stage five takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in the first 3 to 4 years of your marriage. This will take 5 to 7 years, okay? 5 to 7 years of waking up, committing, recommitting, focusing, fighting, falling, getting back up, recommitting, intentionality, discipline, focus, year after year after year, right? And Here is the reality that you cannot escape. The only true way to make your marriage grow is to be completely intentional about pursuing growth. This is one of those areas in life where it doesn't grow on its own. Like, I hate the weeds here in Florida. Okay, I just got on a tangent. But the weeds here in Florida, they don't even, like, you don't even have to fertilize the ground. You don't have to water them. Somehow they just grow. I hate that. But your marriage requires effort and attention to detail and intentionality and discipline and integrity all over again, every single day. Your marriage will not grow on its own. Here's a little side note. Stop expecting for your spouse and your marriage to change on its own. Just like a body can't grow without food, your marriage needs sustenance, something that's life-giving to grow, right? Your spouse, and yes, even you, will need to feed off of life-giving nutrients in order to grow. Now, I guess you can grow on stuff that's not life-giving, but you'll grow and will create growths like cancer and other things that will consume you and eventually cause death. But your marriage needs life-giving nutrients. On another rant, that is probably one of the most truest things that you'll ever hear me say about marriage, stop being afraid of the pain that is produced by the birth of something new. Although pain is a great indicator that there is something wrong inside of our marriages, it is more times than not a sign of birthing pains, that something great can be birthed if you complete the process. Become conscious about your marriage, okay? You have to. And becoming conscious about your marriage means that you are willing to embrace the pain. Now, before we move to the final stage of marriage, allow me to share with you 10 characteristics of a conscious couple. Jot these down, take some notes, and then qualify yourself. Compare these to where you are, compare these to where your marriage is, compare these to where your spouse is, so that you can see if you're emulating these characteristics. All right, here's characteristic number one. You realize that your love relationship has a hidden purpose, the healing of your childhood wounds. Nope, I said that too fast. You realize that your marriage has a hidden purpose, and that purpose is the healing of your childhood wounds. Often, your partner is not the problem. They are merely triggering your unresolved issues. Characteristic number two, you create a more accurate image of your spouse. Now, remember, I talked about, and can't remember the episode now, where I talked about becoming a student of your spouse. That's also one of the 37 laws in my book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage. But remember, I talk about how important it is to become a student of your spouse. It is highly important for your marriage that you see your partner's truth. What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What are their biggest hangups? Why are they who they are? And how has their past influenced them to become who they are? And more importantly, what is God saying to you about them? Characteristic number three. You take responsibility for communicating your needs and desires to your partner. We talked about that in a previous episode. See, in unconscious couples, you lump lofty and unfair expectations onto your spouse, and then you expect for them to meet them. See, in conscious couples, you accept the fact that in order to understand each other, you have to develop a clear channel of communication, which is one of the 10 pillars of marriage, of a healthy marriage. Characteristic number four. You become more intentional in your interactions. See, in unconscious couples, you tend to react based only off of how you feel. If you are in a good mood, you do good things. If you are in a bad mood, you do bad things. See, in conscious couples, your behaviors aren't influenced based off of how you feel. You are driven by unconditional love instead. Ooh, I can say more about that, but I'm running out of time. Characteristic number five, you learn to value your partner's needs and wishes as highly as you value your own. Yes, this is the art of submission. See, in unconscious couples, you expect that your partner's only reason for being in the relationship is to cater to and thus meet your needs. When they don't, you withdraw. In conscious couples, you seek first to give before looking to receive. See, as a matter of fact, let me go a step further. You aren't even looking to receive. You are only interested in giving unconditionally. And check out chapter one of my book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage, where I talk about the law of agape, so you can actually understand what that principle is really all about. All right, characteristic number six. You embrace the dark side of your personality. You got to embrace it. Hear me clearly, guys. Hear me out. In a conscious couple, you openly admit that, like everyone else, you also have negative traits that, if not checked, can cause damage to your marriage. Because you are aware of your negative traits, the dark side of your personality, you lessen your tendency to project them onto your spouse. You see how that works? Ooh, I can go even further, but let me keep going. Characteristic number seven, you learn new techniques to satisfy your basic needs and desires. See, instead of manipulating your spouse into meeting your needs, you find ways to cope with them. Maybe it's actually going to counseling. Maybe you become a mentor and give back. Or perhaps it's time to pick up a hobby or a side business. Nope, y'all thought I was going to say side piece. Nah, side business. Whatever the case, you don't use your marriage as a way to cope with your unmet needs. That's unhealthy and unnecessary if you incorporate this characteristic. All right, number eight, you search within yourself for the strengths and abilities that you're lacking. See, one of the main reasons why you chose your spouse in the first place is because they appear to have strengths and abilities that you lacked. As a result, being with them gave you the illusion of being whole. See, in conscious couples, you are not relying on your spouse to make you whole. Instead, you allow God through you to find your wholeness. Go back and repeat that if you need to. Characteristic number nine, you become more aware of your purpose and live your life as a way of giving and of being whole. See, God created you to love. He gave you the capacity to love unconditionally. In conscious couples, you seek to become who you truly are so that you can give your greatest abilities to your relationship and to your spouse and to your family. You actively look for opportunities of growth while seeking to remove things out of your life that stops you from becoming who you truly are supposed to be. This is a tough one, but this is also a characteristic of a conscious couple. All right, characteristic number 10. You accept the difficulty of creating a lasting love relationship. See, in unconscious couples, you think that the way of having a good relationship is to pick the right person. In conscious couples, you realize that you have to be the right partner. You realize that a good relationship requires commitment, discipline, and the courage to grow and change. If you exemplify these 10 characteristics, your marriage will truly be ready for stage six. This is the final stage of marriage. Okay, so let me go ahead and go over stage six of the six stages of marriage, and then I'm going to wrap up. Here's information on stage six. Stage six is called the becoming one stage. Very few people make it to this level, okay? But it's possible. This takes years. This ain't going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in the first 5, 7, even 10 years of marriage. You're going to have to go through some things. You're going to have to fall down and get back up before you can come to this level of becoming one. This is about synergy. This stage is all about synergy, where you two together are more powerful than you could ever be individually, right? There's a biblical principle that says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. There's power in synergy, extreme power, right? The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So with you, your spouse, and God intertwined, imagine how powerful you could be. Now, becoming one should be the goal of every marriage. Keep in mind, I did not say them becoming you or you becoming them. I also did not say that they should completely conform and compromise to make you happy or vice versa. See, becoming one is all about merging or blending so that you become something new. Becoming something new is all about deciding to let go of your personal agenda for the greater good of your marriage. Becoming one is about creating a new culture by sharing one vision. The Bible asks this very important question, which you should be asking to yourself about your marriage. How can two walk together unless they agree? See, stage 6 is all about the power of agreement. And at this point, you have lost the desire to use the relationship to meet your personal needs and have come to the realization that your marriage is intended to have a greater purpose, that if in the right position, your marriage could be a powerful, world-changing instrument. To make this applicable, let me share with you 6 C's to becoming one. And then we're going to wrap it up. All right. C number 1 is choice. Everything that is done in your marriage involves a choice, whether it is physically, sexually, financially, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, everything is a choice. Make the right choice. C number 2 is commitment. Are you fully committed to the journey of your marriage? Protect your commitment at all cost. You have to make the daily choice to remain committed. Protect it. Do things that will enhance your commitment and make it easier to commit tomorrow than it did today, okay? But you got to make the choice and you got to stay committed. C number 3 is celebration. Celebrate your spouse. Celebrate your life. Celebrate your marriage. Life is too short not to have fun. Make sure that in your marriage, you ain't just walking around stiff, puckered, tight. let me stay focused, right? Just you don't walk around like that. Celebrate. Enjoy the moments, because guess what? The moment could cease just like that, okay? C number 4, compassion. Continue to be compassionate with your spouse. Continue to have compassion towards your spouse and make sure that no matter what, your feelings aren't disrupting how you feel towards them. Okay? I said feelings. I know. Make sure your feelings aren't disrupting how you feel towards them. Keep the compassion. Cultivate the compassion on purpose. Be purposeful about your compassion. And compassion isn't just about a sexual attraction. It's about a strong urge to serve, to love, to protect, to provide, to spend time in their presence, being with them, enjoying the moments, celebrating those moments, okay? C number 5, co-creation. This is the bread and butter of this 6th stage. See, Mandy and I, we have co-created Mastering Marriage. We've co-created this platform. What is your assignment? What are you guys co-creating? What goals are you working on together? What are you working to accomplish? Okay. Every time I do premarital counseling with my premarital counseling couples, one of the last modules is creating a marital purpose statement and mission statement. And it's focused on helping them to focus on creating something together. What are you creating? What are you co-creating? And then number 6, C number 6 is courage. Being brave is a prerequisite to moving forward as a couple. Being able to embrace both the good and the bad times of your marriage is extremely courageous. And trust me, in order to get to this level, you will need a bunch of courage, a bunch. Every day, you're going to have to make the right decision. And sometimes, often actually, the right decision is the hardest decision to make. And you're going to need courage to do that, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrap up here because I'm already close to or over 40 minutes by now. And so I want to make sure that you are applying this stuff. So your action item is to review these last 3 stages of the 6 stages of marriage. I want you to track where you are and hit me up. Text me, call me, email me, message me if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you're confused about something, or you're in a position where you're like, look, you mentioned something and we need help, so I'm reaching out for help. And guess what? I will be here to make sure that I am doing whatever I can to inform, educate, and enrich your marriage. Okay? So I'm going to wrap up here. And that is it for today for episode number 16 of the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast, where we discussed the last three stages of the six stages of marriage. And if you didn't get your notes, make sure you're going back and getting those notes. Stage four was the fight, flight, or freeze stage. Stage five was the conscious couple stage. And then stage six was the becoming one stage. I hope that you guys are applying this stuff. And let me know if you have any questions about it, okay? It is my desire that these things, if applied, will take your marriage to the next level. All right, well, here we are. I really appreciate you guys for joining me in this episode of the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Make sure to join me in the next episode where we're going to talk about another very important topic that you don't want to miss out on. And do me a favor, please make sure that you are leaving me an honest rating and review wherever you subscribe, and make sure you're subscribing and sharing and commenting all the stuff that will help spread this message. Please make sure that you're doing so. Otherwise, I want you to stay focused, stay strategic, stay smart, stay out of trouble, and I'll talk to you guys later. Deuces.
Thanks for stopping by for your seat on the couch at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Remember, go to marriagecounselorscorner.com to schedule your next session. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you never miss a session. We look forward to having you back on the couch soon. Bye-bye now.